Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Monday Football Monday here on the SB Nation NFL Show. A reminder before we get started that this show is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. My name is RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's Blog of the Boys. As mentioned, this is Monday Football Monday on the SB Nation NFL Show. The SB Nation NFL Show can be accessed a variety of different places. First of all, if you're in the business of live action, we are live. You can watch us live on the SB Nation NFL YouTube page, the SB Nation NFL Facebook page, the SB Nation NFL Twitter page. You can always obviously catch the rewatch in any of those places. Please do like, follow, subscribe, etc., etc. Speaking of, please subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show wherever you get your podcast for available on Apple devices, Spotify, all major podcast platforms. Subscribe, leave a rating, write a review so you get access to all of our wonderful shows. Speaking of, this week kicks off our sort of off-season coverage here on the SB Nation NFL Show. A bit of an adjustment in terms of shows coming out and days they are coming out. But Monday Football Monday is here to stay because we are the very best. Once again, I'm RJ Ochoa. Rachelle, our fantastic producer, joining me as always. He is 6'7". Coming in at a lean 205 pounds, 205 pounds of pure, absolute, complete, total chiseled muscle from the, I don't know, Queens Boulevard in New York City, covering the Kansas City Chiefs for SB Nation over at Arrowhead Pride. You know him, you love him.
What an intro. Wow. How are you doing? Good to be with you here on this Monday. It's May 23rd and the off season is in full swing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of teams are beginning what would be phase two today. Is it phase two?
You know who we are, Pete? I'm Tarzan. You're Jane. We're just swinging through this jungle. You know what I mean? Just swinging on in. You know? How are we feeling?
Yeah. It's phase three. OTAs is
way to go. Already getting things wrong. Nice to see.
Quick correction, though. You got to hand it to me for correction.
Light on your feet. Definitely light on your feet. Pete, how are you doing this fine Monday? Are you doing well? Are you feeling good? You feeling at the top of your game?
I would say I'm feeling well. I'm feeling froggy. We're going to talk about some rankings today. So, I love a good ranking. You know that about
me. I do. Pete will rank anything. He'll rank rankings if he can. Let's just go ahead. Let's just dive in. You got your spelunking gear on or whatever?
Breakfast foods, chicken and waffles, corned beef hash.
You were not here for last week's Monday Football Monday, which featured a dramatic moment, needless to say. What are your thoughts on a muffin and a banana for breakfast?
No protein.
Okay, but still, give us a grade.
You need a little protein. That's what really.
Okay, my point is,
will satisfy you.
Rob Stats Guerrera heroically filled in for you, and I told him that's what I had, and that's the breakfast that Rachelle generally has every day, which was just coincidence. And he said, when I told him that that's what I had, he said, "Are you 2 years old?" And I said, "No." And he said, "That's what my 2-year-old daughter had for breakfast." So,
I don't think it's an age issue. It's just you're not getting the nutrients you need for your best possible day.
Okay. Well, Whatever, Pete. You mentioned we were going to discuss rankings. We're actually not really going to rank things. It's a little bit different. That's how our Monday Football Monday style is. The MF double MVP, by the way, up for grabs as it is every single week. We had to hand one out to a non-regular last week because you, Pete, were not feeling well. So congratulations for sending one out of our own building. But on Monday, Peter King over at Football Morgan America released his latest power rankings, how he sees the NFL. And there's all this hubbub. Are we a top 10? I saw, Bleeding Green Nation, our fantastic Eagles side, said Peter King has the Philadelphia Eagles inside the top 10. There's just something about being inside the top 10. You're number 11, loser. You know what I mean? You're number 10, winner.
Right.
And so what we are going to do, Pete, is discuss which teams in the NFL are capable of being a top 10 team. This means, and I know the math here will be weird, that there can be more than 10 teams. But who is worthy of being a top 10 team in the NFL when it's all said and done? Our full, absolute, total, beautiful answers right here, right now. Where do you want to start, Pete Sweeney? Let's go.
How many do you have?
Well, you know, you said that you put together this list. I am more of a free spirit, and I was going to do it on the show because that's the whole point of the podcast, right? Is like the content that we create. Right. I didn't want to like ruin it. I'm not saying that your strategy was wrong, but it's just not one that I would have employed.
Peter King came out with his list, and you talked about how I have some commentary on rankings. And the one thing I want to say with all of these offseason power rankings is the Buffalo Bills should not be the top team. I don't understand why I keep seeing rankings where the team that didn't even get to the title game is ahead of the Super Bowl champions, the conference champions, the team that beat them in the playoffs is below them in every ranking. I don't get that. Now, they are definitely a top 10 team, but you have to start with the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are first until they're not. It's a pet peeve that I have that the Super Bowl champions just get disrespected, and the Bills that have become the offseason darlings of recent years are just the best team in the league, even though they didn't make it out of the divisional round. Like, what are we doing?
So, again, I didn't really have a problem with this. I do think that and I love the Bills. All right. I think the love has reached a bit of an intense point, right? Like, I think we're really setting the Bills up to fail. I don't think it's unfair to not have the reigning world champions at the top of your power rankings in May. Like, cause the team, the whole reason that this list is not just, last year's standings or is because things have changed, right? Like free agency has happened. The draft has happened. So that's totally fine and fair. But that being said, if I had to pick the very best team in the NFL right now, I could see an argument for the Bills. I could see an argument for the Rams. They're both capable of being top 10 teams. I don't know. Are the Chiefs worthy of that one spot right now? I don't know that that's fair. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, don't show up to the Mavericks game. I think you're cursing the Mavs. That's all I'm saying, Patrick Mahomes.
That is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Chiefs belong in number one. What I'm saying is I don't understand why I constantly, and it's not just Peter King who came out this morning. He's the most recent rankings, but the Bills are just higher than teams. And after having seasons that, they've had back-to-back seasons now where they don't win in the postseason. There was a more dominating win by the Chiefs in the AFC title game from 2 years ago. They blew it in this game with the 13 seconds. And yet somehow, some way, everyone is just assuming the Buffalo Bills, who have never won a championship in their franchise history, are just going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're getting put ahead of the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Rams.
I think they're certainly ahead of the Bengals. I don't have any qualms with that.
And speaking of the Bengals, and here's another thing. And again, I'm not even talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. If there is any team that is getting completely disrespected this offseason,
not like they lost Tyreek Hill and Tyrann Bengals. Matthew. And
no, it's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh. Dude, no, the, I mean, like, I think we're all like
the Bengals. Only improve their offensive line. They've proved that they have a Super Bowl caliber offense, and they only got better.
I don't know that that's 100% true. Again, I think we all can acknowledge that they had a little bit of a magical run, and so it's can that really sustain itself? They won 10 games last year. They weren't this world beater of a team. You know what I mean? They had flaws. I mean, they just happened to have a path that worked out. Let's not forget the Chiefs collapsed in the AFC championship game. And I'm not trying to bash the Chiefs, but it was a total and complete collapse that partly led to the Bengals not getting just totally dominated the game before the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? That's worth mentioning.
This is just Peter King's rankings. Why are the Bills and Chargers ahead of the
Chiefs? I think
the
Chargers being ahead
of the Bengals,
it
doesn't make any
sense. I'm way out on this. I think the Chargers are this sexy, vogue, cool. The Chargers are the team that people try to impress people with. I think the Chargers are cool. That's just the thing.
They're always the offseason pick.
Right. It's I don't know about you, but the Chargers, the Chargers, you want to talk about things we don't like. I've been carrying this torch for a long time. The Chargers got destroyed by the Houston Texans. The Chargers lost to the Raiders. And Brandon Staley collapsed himself. Like, and I've said this a thousand right. times. I know every SB Nation NFL show listener's heard it. People kill the Colts. They kill Carson Wentz because they lost to the Jaguars and the Raiders. The same exact thing right. happened to the Chargers. I would argue that that was worse, losing to the Texans and the Raiders than the Jaguars and the Raiders.
Right, right. And you see it. And this is now, I will talk about the Chiefs for a second. You see this every year in the AFC West where the Chargers are the pick in the offseason to win the AFC West. And every year, the Chiefs win. And I'm not saying, look, this time around, the Chiefs will definitely win the AFC West, but you're going to see the Chargers picked again. And it's going to be one of these other teams. It might be the Denver Broncos with Russ Wilson. Maybe the Raiders come out of the woodwork and it's Derek Carr and Davante Adams to do it. I don't get the Chargers love every offseason when they perennially are a team.
I said this on the look ahead last week too. And we can start actually naming the teams here, but I think the Broncos can be a top 10 team. Like, that's like the theme of our discussion here. I certainly think they can, but man, I think the most overrated team in the NFL is the Broncos right now. Like, and I love Russell Wilson. I do. I mean, every NFC's mixtape listener knows I do a fantastic Russell Wilson impersonation, but like, what if Nathaniel Hackett sucks? Like, you know, we are not even considering this. Like, what if he's terrible? I mean,
I think so. I have both Denver and Indianapolis in possible top 10 teams.
Dude, Pete, come on. And is just, you're a horse man. That's what you're doing right now. Colts and Broncos. Pete loves his horses. Give me a horse sign.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to neigh for you on this podcast this morning. No, what I'm saying is
stupid.
The Denver Broncos and the Indianapolis Colts have been these organizations that have had, in my opinion, playoff caliber rosters now for a while. The question has always been the quarterback. And now that these two teams actually have quarterbacks in place, we definitely knew that that was coming, RJ.
The Colts have worsened at the quarterback position. And that's because Carson is not great. The ghost of Matt Ryan is not an improvement over even bad Carson.
I don't agree. I thought there were moments last year where Matt Ryan looked to be, if he was on a better team, he could carry a team to the postseason. And so I just think Denver and Indy are connected because they've had these rosters. They've had no quarterback now for years. They probably both do now. And so let's see if it pays off for them. That's why I have them in possible top.
Will you give us an A? Come on.
There you go.
Okay, so let's.
You pressed me into the nay. I didn't want a nay, and now I nayed. Rachel behind the scenes. Let's make sure we mark that when we're considering other things later.
Well, I nayed first. I mean, just so we're all aware.
Well, I rose to the occasion.
So
you know, when you needed a nay in a big spot, I came. I nayed.
Let's just say this. Let's stick to the AFC. I think. Tell me if you disagree with any of these. I think these are the all teams that could wind up being in the top 10. So
okay.
The entire AFC West. We have to include them, right? The Titans. I won't put the Colts there. I'm sorry. I refuse. The Bengals. The Ravens, certainly. I'm not going to put the Browns there, mostly off of principle. And the Bills. And I guess the Patriots. Right? Like, we got to throw the Patriots in there. Man, but like, are you upset that like I've excluded the Jets or the Dolphins or... you know, the Jaguars, I guess. Like, is that unfair?
I need to go through mine, but I have Cincinnati, I have Kansas City, I have Buffalo. I mentioned that both the Denver Broncos and Indianapolis Colts made it for me. I had the Chargers. I did like their offseason, but I don't like the overhype, as I just mentioned. I have Baltimore. Oh, hello, Bear. Bear is not a Ravens fan, as we know. Really gets upset about the Baltimore Ravens. So I have the Ravens as well. I have the New England Patriots. I think you always got to include the Patriots until Bill Belichick really bets too high on his coaching prowess, where he has Joe Judge as the quarterback's coach, and it completely dissolves and fails and blows up in his face. Who knows? It might happen finally this year. But until proven otherwise, New England is in there. I have Cleveland. It's Watson dependent on right. that one. And then I have,
by the way, just
Tennessee. I put Tennessee in there and like, I didn't want to, cause it just seems like the obvious team to completely fall off. But I think but they're if like, they, if they of fell, all of these teams that I mentioned, they're
I guess
on
if
the
they
bubble.
Fell off,
they're
saying
like
the
right
Colts,
there.
Fall on, right. Like if that's, you know, because if it, like conceivably there'd be a team from each division here, right? And so if the Titans fall off, the somebody has to rise to that occasion. It would be the Colts.
What's amazing about this is, so I did a little pre-work on this before we started.
The exercise, right?
And I have 14 teams in it, and let's count them here: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're talking AFC.
9, 10, 11.
11? Is that what you're saying?
I have 11. 11 of the 14 to me are in the AFC.
So I have the 4 AFC West teams. The Titans is a 5th. I have 2 AFC North teams. That's 7. I have 9. So I guess the 2 that I don't have that you do are the Browns,
and Indianapolis, and Cleveland. Right. Right. We're just talking about top 10 potential here, but that's just, it's a sign of the times of the NFL. Because even, let's say you have 9 and I have 11. This is a AFC dominant league right now. It is much harder to emerge out of the AFC than it is the NFC. Actually, you know what? I have 15 teams. I forgot a team. So I'm going to have 4 NFC teams. So 11 to 4, but still. You know, to me, that's a sign of the times of the NFL. I mean, the AFC is a gauntlet. Right now.
Question. In your mind, what is the AFC of the NBA? Because I wonder if, like, we're on the same page here. Like, if you had to pick, like, one, like, the East and the West, like, one is the NFC and the AFC,
right?
Like, who would you say is who?
It's got to be the West.
No. But, like, I mean, historically, how have you, like, compartmentalized? Like, if you were putting them on sides, right? Like, you know, the NFC and the AFC are on one side. So then you have to just, generally speaking, put the West and the East on one side. Like, where are you putting them?
Well, the AFC is the West right now.
Okay, I still think you're butchering the question. The and you're ruining the fun. To me, like, growing up, the NFC, the Western Conference, and the NL were kind of all the same. Like, they just all kind of, like, vibe with one another. Whereas the AFC, the East, and the AL all kind of vibe with one another. That's how I see them.
I'm completely lost on this.
Welcome to every episode of Monday Football
comparison.
Monday.
Yeah, I don't understand, but what I'd say is the AFC is going to be the more impressive Super Bowl team. That is.
I do want to say one last thing, and it really sucks that we have to, like, talk about this and cover this, but it's gross all the way around. But you mentioned Deshaun Watson. We do have a holiday weekend coming up, and there's been a lot of chatter that the NFL is, like, getting close to, you know, this and that, whatever. And so maybe we get some Deshaun Watson news this Friday. Classic 5 o'clock news dump on a holiday weekend. Who knows? But that is something to potentially be on the lookout for.
I have a quick point about this, and just with Cleveland in general and Watson and whatnot. I just think the way the contract was structured, I think the NFL is going to drop the hammer on this. I really do. I was asked on the radio the other day in Kansas City, how many games do I think he'll be suspended with an over-under of 6.5? Like, for me, no matter what you want to put the over-under at a suspension, I think it's going to be the over. I think he's going to be suspended and not playing for most of the year, if not the whole year. And I think Cleveland knew that. So if we're trying to guess here, which is impossible when you're talking about NFL and suspensions and how they handle situations, I would tell you that Cleveland likely is not going to be a top 10 team for me.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Let's move to the NFC. These are teams who I think are potential top 10s. And again, just kind of throwing a net over here. Obviously, the Rams. Outside of that, I don't know that I really need to include an NFC West team. I really don't. Maybe the Niners, just off principle, but like, man, they are having a stinky offseason. Obviously, the Bucks, but no other team in the South. The Packers. I will include the Vikings. I think it's possible. You know, again, in the world of all possibilities, all literal possibilities, I think it's definitely in the realm of possibility. And then I'll put the Cowboys and the Eagles there. You have any disagreements?
I don't. Yes.
Well, they're wrong.
I have the Rams,
right,
of course.
So you agree, right?
Who
not a disagreement.
Are getting, both Super Bowl teams this offseason are getting very disrespected, including, obviously, the Rams. Green Bay is in there. Tampa Bay is in there. And I have Minnesota, and I don't have any other teams. I don't think any NFC East team belongs in this top 10. I didn't.
You've left off your birds.
The birds. No, I think it's going to be one more down year for the NFC East. We got one more down year.
You know what they call it when it's down, right? The NFC least. Oh, got him.
I think the Giants are interesting, but the Giants in Washington.
The Giants are interesting. On what planet are the Giants?
I like those.
I predicted
first
the Giants would win the East, actually. So, I mean,
the Giants and Washington, they to me are two teams without a quarterback. And then you have Dallas and Philly. I think AJ Brown to the Eagles is getting a little too much praise when it comes
King.
I think when it suddenly takes a team and propels them like into the top of a conference. Now, I think the Eagles have a much better chance to win the division because the division's right. Not great. But considering them like one of these top NFC teams doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I have another complaint here very quickly, Arjun, and I'll throw it to you. This is why I feel that division winners should get the automatic bid to the playoffs, but they should not be given a home game. And I think by the time this whole season plays out, an NFC East team will once again be hosting a game and they will have a worse record than the
you have this host. Like AFC West, you know, elitism going on right here. Or that's what's happening here. You're like, oh, our division is
just
so
silly.
Great and the Chiefs might not win it. And so
you know,
we need to have a game at Arrowhead. We need to have a fifth straight AFC championship game at this building, even
when
though we lost
9-7.
I mean,
when the 9-7-1 Eagles are hosting what is an 11-6 team or something, it's just gonna be annoying to me. That's all.
So first of all, I would like to highlight for every SB Nation NFL show listener that Pete Sweeney said that the AJ Brown trade isn't exactly a big deal.
I just don't think a wide receiver like, and that goes to the thought process of Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins.
Let me tell you
wide
what
receiver
I said about this,
not
because I had a lot of people in my mentions. So I'm calling in Big Pete to be my backup right here. So hear me out.
Go ahead.
I said on the look ahead that every team who traded for a receiver this offseason was the loser in that trade, with the lone exception of the Cleveland Browns trading for Amari Cooper, because the team involved in that was, of course, my Dallas Cowboys. So I certainly think that AJ Brown improves the Eagles roster, right? He certainly makes them a larger competitor in the division and theoretically overall. But my point was, I think that they're still the loser in that trade. They had to pay an enormous amount. And on the one hand, I can acknowledge that they themselves have acknowledged that they are really bad at drafting receivers. They said, let's just get a proven commodity. Cool. I respect that. But I do think that in the long term, the long run, the Titans have the better end of that deal. And I obviously think the Dolphins lost the Tyreek Hill trade. I think the Raiders lost the Devontae Adams trade. I think anybody paying that much, paying at least a first round pick and then a massive contract to a receiver, is on the losing end of that trade.
Well, this is going to be something that's fascinating.
RJ, I unequivocally agree with you. You said a really great thing. That's what we're looking for.
This is going to be fascinating to watch. And actually kind of, I compare it to almost coronavirus. Like, we're not going to really know how the hell coronavirus worked for like 10 years. We'll find out about this receiver thing.
Hadn't heard that word in a long time. Like it's just COVID. Soon, you know what I mean? Hadn't heard coronavirus in a while.
COVID-19.
Even to that point, we just cut off the 19. It was just COVID for a while.
Like, I would like to know how the disease worked, and I don't think we'll know it until it's researched and yada yada. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, this is going to be fascinating to watch from an NFL standpoint, in the idea of there were two schools of thought here in this offseason when it came to the receivers. The receiver market blows up, and you had teams like the Packers and the Chiefs and the Titans, and they chose, no, we're going to take cap flexibility and we're going to continue playing team ball, and we think with our team and with our quarterback, we're going to be fine. Then you had these teams that felt like they were wide receiver away. And who does that include? That's the Dolphins. You mentioned the
Raiders,
the Browns, the Raiders.
And if you're including every wide receiver trade, because we didn't, the Patriots traded for Devontae Parker. Obviously, that was kind of the fallout of the Tyreek Hill trade. The
Parker compared to these other.
I know. I'm being literal here. I mean, because like Amari didn't fetch the same capital, right? Again, but the sure. Titans traded for Robert Woods. Again, if we're just being literal here.
I'm talking the guys that were traded and the contracts that were signed
at the very, very top, and then there's AJ Brown. Oh, and then there's Hollywood Brown.
Right,
Hollywood Brown would be the other one.
Right,
that's really the only example of like we have a would-be elite quarterback, and we're going to spend. Actually, the Raiders is probably the best example.
But to me, that's the biggest storyline that like is the most encompassing of the most teams this offseason is this receiver. And I just think it's going to be interesting to watch which side of it, because I think one side will be smart here, and it might not be the side that traded the elite receiver. Maybe it will be these teams that felt like they were one piece away, and it suddenly propels them. But I tend to agree. I think it's these teams that went for the cap flexibility and leaned into the team and the draft picks and the development over time. Then it's going to be these other teams that just suddenly feel like, okay, well, now we have an elite receiver. We're going to win the Super Bowl. I can't buy that. I can't buy it. Now I know, and I know people will say, well, the Chiefs were on that once. Fine. If you want to say, but I'm usually pretty unbiased when it comes to these like league wide discussions. And I don't buy the side that bought the top receiver.
So a couple of quick questions here. If we consider just those four, right? The Devontae, Tyreek, AJ, and I guess Amari. Five. Hollywood Brown and Amari. The Amari trade we can't really count because the quarterback situation is so in flux. But those four, the ones that fetched at least first-round picks. So the quarterbacks involved here, Derek Carr in Vegas, Tua in Miami, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, and Kyler Murray in Arizona. Who is the best? Like, rank those four quarterbacks for me. So do you love to rank? Carr, Tua, Jalen, Kyler.
Man, I've been down on Derek Carr pretty much the entire time we've had this show.
Somehow you found a way to talk up Alex Smith, but right.
That move to get Devontae Adams is the best possible move they could ever do for Derek Carr. I think it makes me want to put him first.
But
on
what's
this
weird
list.
Is like that's the situation again. I think that the Raiders overpaid. I mean, you know, et cetera, and they can be a top team, obviously.
It's clearly the best receiver in the NFL. I mean, if you're ever going to overpay,
but the weird thing is if we look at these four situations again: Carr, Tua, Jalen, and Kyler. The only quarterback in this group whose team is actually committed to him is Carr, right? Like the other ones that are all in flux situations, even Kyler is in flux. And so that's what I think is also weird is like, it's not like the teams that have these like would-be quarterbacks are the ones saying like, we have the elite quarterback, let's pair him. In fact, they're stripping them away like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and arguably Dak Prescott with Amari Cooper.
Of these four teams, to go back to our discussion, of these four teams, the only team of those four who I have impossible top 10 are the Raiders. Yeah. That's what I'm saying about these moves. It's not a slam dunk that you got this elite receiver and you're suddenly going to be in the top 10 of the league. And that's a lot of
let it flow.
That's a lot of I don't like any NFC East team. That's a lot of capital to give to like not be sure that you're suddenly going to be in the playoff mix.
Right.
In my opinion.
And I also, again, my last point on the AJ Brown thing, and then we'll kind of tie up on this top 10 thing is part of the reason AJ wanted to go to the Eagles was Jalen Hurts. And this is a drum I've been banging for a while. I'm just here on the drum line like Nick Cannon, baby. And so like what if they don't commit to him? What if he's gone? Is not AJ Brown or is AJ Brown not gonna be like, dude, that was my guy? You know, like they try to get rid of Pete Sweeney, I'm throwing a riot. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm burning, you know, cars. I'm going crazy.
We were,
you know what I'm saying? You can't get rid of my guy. So what if they do?
I do want to compliment the Eagles on this. And I thought this was a good point because this was a good point from Peter King. You know, we got our idea for this discussion from Peter King's rankings this morning. And he makes a really good point about the Eagles because the story of every team in the NFL is either you have a quarterback or you don't. And you're constantly navigating, well, what do we do about it? For a team that maybe doesn't have a quarterback in the Eagles, this is his point. They've created a team with a legitimate chance of winning now, a legitimate offense to make a judgment on Jalen Hurts as the future. Howie Roseman has done it while still retaining enough pieces for the future to address the quarterback position in 2023. Three picks in the first two rounds next year, three picks in the first two rounds in 2024. So there are a lot of teams out there that, like to me, like have a Daniel Jones. They're checking out, you know, Davis Mills with no real opportunity in the future to necessarily feel like, okay, we can go get a quarterback if we need one as these guys start to come out of college. The Eagles have done a really nice job basically hedging Hurts.
That's all they're doing. And they get a good look at it. Every year it's like, we're going to be great next year. When does that bill come? When does that bill come due for the Eagles?
I have a separate point on this quarterback thing. You know, speaking of quarterbacks or not, like I have, and I group them together, Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, Carolina, and Houston. They're easy, not top 10 teams because their quarterback, there's no way that their quarterback will get them to the playoffs.
Seattle,
Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, Carolina, and Houston. They're
just dead. Who's the one that could like climb out of that? Who's the one that could prove the one? If you had to bet on one to prove Pete wrong, who is it? Because I know the answer.
Mariota.
It's Washington again. Part of what like people like about the Eagles offseason is again like it doesn't take much to win the NFC least. Blah blah blah. Like couldn't Washington do it? Like again, Carson was like a somewhat efficient quarterback last year. They added Jahan Dotson to Terry McLaurin. If the defense, you know, like is normal, right? Like that's possible. They could win the NFC East.
I don't like Daniel Jones. I like Dak Prescott. I think Hurts is second in that division when it comes to quarterbacks. I would almost take Daniel Jones over Carson Wentz. I know that sounds crazy, but I think Jones really got a bad hand when it came to having to like deal with Joe Judge. Joe Judge was a joke.
I mean, I'm not saying that Daniel Jones did not get a bad hand, but man, like the hand that Chris Ballard has shoved down Carson Wentz's throat is really like Chris Ballard has made, like, I think people take their turns to just like now like dump on Wentz. Like we act like he's the worst quarterback who has ever lived because of the way Chris Ballard has like completely and totally obliterated him every time he's spoken to hide his own faults and failures as a general manager. And so like we act like the Colts were some victims here, like that they didn't, you know, make that bid.
You continue to blame Ballard. That's a Reich mistake.
It's both. Oh, dude, by the way, we actually now is a good time to kind of like get to two things that happened over the weekend. And the first of them is like, I don't think Nick Foles is officially signed, or I don't, maybe you can confirm that, Pete, but there was like heavy speculation that was going to happen. That is such a lame piece of news to me that Nick Foles is going to end up in Indianapolis. It's like, oh man, I love Frank Reich the person. Like who Frank Reich is a human being, I greatly admire and respect. I love Frank Reich. I'm kind of out on this, like on him as an NFL head coach. Like I'm out of these like narratives that are like, oh man, Frank got his guy last year. To your point, Pete, like why should we trust Frank Reich bringing in Nick Foles? Like the Nick Foles thing has proven to not work in several different locations at this point. Like this is so lame to be like, well, they were so great together in 2017 when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Yes, they won the Super Bowl. Congratulations. That does not mean that this is going to work somewhere else. We literally just learned this lesson a year ago in the same place. And so I think the most misguided fan base in the NFL right now is the Indianapolis Colts.
See, stop neighing. I like the Colts, and I would agree with you in the fact of like, we don't need to get this excited over a backup quarterback. I think it's a nice story. It's fun. You know, it adds another elements to what I think is a resurgence in Indy. I know you hate the Indianapolis
Colts. I do.
Colts,
I hate that they.
But I'm with you. You don't need to blow up this story about Foles going to Indy. No.
But another bit of free agency news: Jadeveon Clowney is returning.
That's right.
To the Cleveland Browns. Look at that. Boom.
I was a little surprised by that because I think Cleveland is not going to have a quarterback and it's going to be a throwaway year. And, you know, at a certain point, I think guys want to contend. And, you know, if Watson is suspended for most of the year, they're not a playoff team. So,
I mean, you're right. I do think it's weird that Clowney didn't get like $1 billion because that's sort of his thing is.
Well, what's weird about it, and Ian Rappaport noted this as part of the report, like there were teams that were willing to pay him more money and he went to Cleveland.
I mean, like,
it's just, it's such an uncertain situation. Do we
really buy that though? Like, I'm not saying Ian's a liar, but like, do we really buy that? Like, there were teams, Ian's report was that teams were willing to throw $14, $15 million for multiple years at him. And
I don't think it's a lie.
He's signing on in the last week of May, but there are teams who have been willing to pay him that much this whole time. Like, that just seems a little absurd to me.
I don't think he would just tweet out a complete lie. Like, maybe there was, you know, different incentives and stuff built in. I just would love to know the teams because I'm kind of stunned he picked Chiefs. Cleveland because just so much uncertainty.
By the way,
right? Chiefs would have been a nice pick.
I will say, this is kind of just like a grab bag of topics. I saw a photo of Sky Moore, the Chiefs rookie wide receiver, obviously. I overlooked. He's wearing number 24. Disgusting. This gross. Yeah.
No, you don't like that as a receiver number.
I've already, for recent history, haven't been a fan of receivers in the teens. And I blame Larry Fitzgerald for this, like made it cool to wear 11 and then 13 was this really popular number. But I had accepted that. Like, I'd come to terms with, like, fine, receivers one of this. I miss my receivers in the 80s. You know what I mean? 81, brilliant receiver number. 88, CeeDee Lamb, baby. I mean, like, I love receivers in the 80s. And so even still last year, you know what? I think it's gross, but I know some receivers are going to wear number one. Fine. Someone will wear seven. Someone will wear eight. Whatever. I think it's weird, but fine. 24 is a disgusting number for a receiver. Like, I mean, it is disgusting. I'm personally offended.
What I'll tell you is I've seen in our mentions and here and there, there are Chiefs fans that agree with you. It is odd to think.
It's odd
that.
Enough, like I'm saying, to have like a single digit. You know what I'm saying? Like that is so unconventional. But at the very least, that is, you know, somewhat in line with, you know, college. And I realize that so is 24. But like, that is so much more rare. Like, this is weird. I mean,
well, you know, you talked about number 13, Odell Beckham Jr. made it look good. If Sky Moore is a hit and he plays well in Kansas City, especially with no Tyreek Hill, 24 is going to be on a lot of Chiefs fans' backs.
Disgusting.
In KC here.
What was Melvin Ingram last year? Wasn't he 24?
I think he
was.
That's
disgusting, dude. Oh, my gosh. I feel so sorry for it. I used to feel so badly for number 6 on the Broncos because it had to be worn by Jay Cutler and Mark Sanchez. I feel even worse for 24 in Kansas City and that it has to be so misused by Melvin Ingram and Sky Moore. Like, what on earth? This is gross.
Now that you mention it, I never even really thought about it, but it is a weird transition for the number to go from a defensive end Ingram to a wide receiver year to year. The number thing in the NFL is I don't ever want to agree with Tom Brady off the field, but it's a little bit odd. But teams are running out of numbers because they retire them. Are we going to see triple digits one day?
How many numbers do the Chiefs have retired?
I believe it's 10.
Well, you know
what,
Chiefs,
right about that.
Maybe stop being so loose with your jersey retirement rules, you know, because.
Well, they've gotten a little tighter because they can't do it anymore. Like, Tony G's not retired. Derek Johnson, Jamal Charles, you know, all these numbers are available.
Is Jamal Charles like really at the jersey retirement like level? Like, is that, I mean.
I think because of the popularity level, and he's still, I believe this is to be true, he still has the biggest yards per carry numbers ever.
He had a great number, 25. That's for the type of running back he was, it's classic. It's perfect. It's vintage. I mean, but
Jamal Charles at his peak was unbelievable. But again, it's a running back, so sometimes those careers end a little sooner rather than later.
Is there a top 10 team that we are just completely and totally overlooking to kind of land this plane here?
Well, I mentioned that I have the four NFC teams. I have San Francisco.
Your four are the Rams,
out.
The Bucks, the Packers, and then your fourth is the Vikings. You have the Vikings over the Cowboys, over the Eagles, over the Cardinals, over the Saints, that's 49ers. The Vikings are your fourth best team in the NFC, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, you have this coach in Kevin O'Connell. You know who Kevin O'Connell was the quarterback's coach for? That was Alex Smith in Washington, and that team was 6-4 before. You know, the Smith injury, which was tough.
W F T
W F T. There is some news coming out where it seems like Dan Snyder might be pushed out of the league if this financial stuff, if, you know, he basically was stealing money from all these other teams, are finally going to end up pushing him out. You can't. I mean, obviously, you can do anything to these owners except take their money, and that's going to be the breaking point. Right. But speaking of, man, what a miss is, and that's part of the reason why they're out of my top 10, too. Just keep WFT. I do not like Washington Commanders. I think everyone kind of agrees with that. That's
you know
not
who
Washington,
agrees
right?
with you? Joe Burrow did a podcast last week, said he liked football team. I mean,
I liked football team a lot, and you really can't chant. Like, remember, we would chant a lot of times not. WFT on the show. And it's very hard. It's a lot harder to be Washington Commanders.
Wow. How many syllables? So we got Washington Commanders. That's six syllables. I mean,
WC. Like, I can't do it anymore. And it's made me like the team a lot less. And obviously, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, the problem is, and like, they don't help this with the particular font that they use. Part of the reason I don't like 24 is it is so wide. Like, Sky Moore is such a thin player. You know what I mean? It's too wide. Like, you need something a little bit more slimming.
I do like that it rhymes. Number 24, Sky Moore.
Okay, 84. He'd have been a fantastic 84, dude.
Number 84, Sky. I don't know. 24 might
anyway,
play. Kevin O'Connell, I like. So
but
we'll
the
see.
W on the Washington, like their new like the like slashy W is so wide looking. You know, it's just
the football team. It was so. It wasn't too much. Yes, I agree. It was great. They backed in. They accidentally ran into an awesome thing, and then they did away with it. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. Not top 10. San Fran's out of it, right? Because they're not gonna be
wow.
a top 10 team. I think the Giants and Jets are interesting because
you're from New York
like
and
cooler.
You want to ride for them. Interesting.
Who will emerge from the ashes first? Because football has been terrible. I love, you know, you love the first round of the draft.
Do you know which team in the NFL teams? Has the most losses since 2017?
Who's
it
that?
It is a tie between the Giants and the Jets.
Which is unbelievable considering Houston has just been an absolute disaster quietly for
well,
all
they
that
won
time.
The division in what, 2019? So that, I mean, that on its own like is a boost. You know what I mean? That
New Orleans, Dallas, Miami, Detroit, Jacksonville.
I think we might be
10.
Overlooking Houston again, like kind of in this like runabout the way Stop. The football team won their division title. Like if the Titans collapse, if Matt Ryan is not good, you know what I mean? Like if the right circumstance,
a lot of ifs for a team that doesn't have a quarterback, dude. I can't.
Is
put
Davis
there
Mills
until they...
the worst quarterback in the AFC? No. Well, I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, I'll bump him. Like I'll give him. Pittsburgh is TBD. I'm not saying that Davis Mills is like 100% better, but Pittsburgh is TBD.
You're right.
Cleveland is TBD, really, in a lot of sense. Again, I'm not saying that like he's better, but like.
So you would take Mills over Brissett?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. I think you're right.
Jacoby Brissett, right. though, first career start, was a big-time win against the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. So.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Was it the Patriots,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, and it was like 21-0, or it was like 23-0.
Doesn't that
was the score?
Don't the Arizona Cardinals just scream, fall off the face of the earth?
I don't think that they scream. I think they've already scrammed. Like they already it's fell.
We're past
yeah, you know
already?
What I'm saying? Like they yeah. fell. Like we're still on the earth. Like they're way off the edge already. Like they're Natasha right. Romanoff, like down looking for the soul mm-hmm. stone or whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
Yes, if the earth were flat,
right?
They would have.
Okay, Pete,
yeah, the boat
has come.
Completely
I truly
off.
Do not know where this is going to go. We are going to bring in our fantastic, our extraordinary producer, Rachel Prevett,
yes.
to hand out today's coveted MF Double MVP Monday Football Monday Most Valuable Player. Rachel, first of all, happy to see you. Great to be with you. Hope your day is wonderful. Could you please let us know who is today's MF Double MVP and why you made the decision that you did?
So. I took a good amount of notes today. This was a strong wow. episode. I'm very
strong
proud.
Episode.
But this person came swinging out the gate.
Oh, yeah. I know who this was.
From the jump, setting the tone for the episode. And it was the take on the Bills and how they should not be the number one team.
Wow.
So, got to give it to Pete.
Rachel, I agreed with the take, to be fair. And Pete only got to speak first because I was super kind and let that happen.
I came out swinging out of the gate. I was ready. I was ticked off a little bit. I brought the energy on a Monday. I think
Rachel. So like before the show, we were all talking. I was talking about Instagram Reels. Rachel and I said we're going to do some together, And you just leave me hanging. Like, just like,
No, I mean, with that. That's NFC East. We got it. We're working on it.
The voting begins once we hit play and we go live on Twitter and
she doesn't hit play. She hits records, please. Yeah. I mean, see, like Rachelle, like, this is so embarrassing. Yeah. This is what you've done.
I need to go back because I have missed, I think, two shows. So of course I wasn't eligible for the double MA.
Yeah, you're like on base percentage might be pretty good. Like
My hit rate on this thing, it's got to be 80 or higher. So,
Rachel, he attacked your breakfast. He said there was no protein involved in your muffin
banana. Well, I can't be, it's okay. He can have his own opinion.
Thank you. Yeah. No, look, I just think maybe a slice or two of turkey with the muffin and the banana. You know, just get the protein going so you're satisfied. You know, prevents you from eating more throughout the day. It's summer. We all want to look good. I'm trying to lose weight. I need a little protein in my breakfast. That's all.
Rachel, I blame you for this. That's really, really, really sad and really hurtful. I'm just, whatever.
The protection both of you guys had that I didn't like. So
what did you not like that we said? Let's hear.
He came for the Eagles. So I was.
Oh, you don't like that.
Going to be cutting that for a
day. We did prop up the Ravens.
You did prop up the Ravens, but, I guess they're not too bad. RJ, you came for the Colts. And Nick Foles and all of that. I mean,
I don't hate Nick Foles at all. Like, Nick's just like cashing checks. I hate Frank Reich.
Foles is a super champion.
The frauds and the lamos, like, to be very clear here. Like, and they're the ones like, let's get Nick Foles and everybody will think we're cool again. Like, no, you guys are losers. That's my whole point. Like, I hate the Colts.
The Colts
are the worst team to ever be in Baltimore. Michael, the Ravens Michael are the Pittman. True team of Baltimore.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. That is very true. At least
That's right. I ride for the Ravens. I'm the only one around here who rides for the Ravens, Rachel. How could you pick Pete?
Every time.
That's not true. I constantly say that Mark Andrews.
What do you mean, Pete? Do you remember Kyle Barber's purple plate incident? Who set that up? I did. My Ravens.
I didn't appreciate the purple plate.
That was such a. I vividly remember. He's like, you can lick the plate
late for work.
Clean. The level of contempt in his voice was beautiful.
Yeah. I didn't realize he wrote for Ravens.com, the late for work
again,
column. So that's cool too.
Kyle shouts out the SB Nation NFL show on the Ravens official team website. And no, Kyle, I got your back. Rachelle, I got your back, even though I don't have an MF double MVP for today, which is embarrassing.
It's okay.
I am just stacking these trophies. the light kind of shines off them, and it's almost tough to see in this podcast room from all the hardware at this
point. One day do have to vote. We have to open it up to the listeners, and one day I think we should vote.
I think I know how that'll go. You know what? If people want to leave a rating on the SB Nation NFL show and tell us who their MF double MVP is, and Rachelle is certainly worthy of winning. Rachelle is truly the MF double MVP. Please let us know. Subscribe, leave a rating, write a review. Thank you for listening to this particular episode. Rachelle, you're wonderful. Pete, you're the best. Pete, send us home with a sound of any animal that you want. Pick the animal, tell us what it is, and hit us with the sound.
Goat.
I thought that was a dolphin. That was a goat.
Yeah, maybe
let's try. Rachel, let's forget what I just said. Rachel, pick an animal and P has to give us that sound.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Monkey. Nice.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.